So we are in the middle of modeling traffic. And last week, we were doing this with a point of view which I was calling macroscopic traveling, macroscopic modeling, because we were considering traffic like flow, which is a good way to do this for kind of cars on a highway, for example. Today, I want to completely switch my point of view. And you already see on the blackboard that the theme will be stochastic models. And I used the time to draw a picture on the blackboard which depicts the so-called elementary delay system, which you know from your everyday experience going shopping quite well. Because what you see is you have a number of counters, 1, 2, up to M, which all can do the same job, namely, for example, selling you some stamps or giving you certain documents, things like that. And people who want to be served, they form up a queue in front of this system of counters. And, of course, you as a person in the queue would like to have a short waiting time. And the persons who are working on the counters, they would be happy to have maybe a break from time to time and not always the pressure of like a long waiting queue with all the negative energy on top of their working load. If you are a manager in the circumstances, of course, in a way, you have to find a good balance between two contradictory systems. So one system is that you are under pressure to run your shop effectively, so not to pay too many persons working at the counters. On the other hand, if the persons coming to be served are so unhappy that they don't return, then you might consider to employ at least one person more in order to have more business. So in a way, On the one hand, you would like to have the number of persons employed, so the number of counters directly connected to that be minimal. But on the other hand, you want to have your customers as happy as possible. And this kind of contradicts each other. So I was starting with this because this is something which everybody of you experiences in everyday life. But, of course, this is something which happens in a lot of connections. So, for example, when delivering usual mail, like letters and parcels, you come up with precisely that problem that you have kind of incoming flow of mail, which has to be distributed by a certain number of knots in the systems where things are put to the next station. Or you have the same problem with email on computer systems, yeah, that they have to certain tasks by giving the next task to the next computer. You're queuing up all the tasks and you have to distribute it on a system of computers. And before that, we had that in telephone systems already. And so at the very beginning, this was very obvious like that on the blackboard. Now it's more hidden because our telephones are now routed like the internet, so there is no real difference between these two tasks anymore. So why is this connected to stochastic modeling? Because definitely it's not connected to the counter side, because we are expecting everybody to work there absolutely deterministically on top of their working possibilities. So that's not part of our system to model if they drop out or not. But kind of the simplest thing which we would ask is what number of persons queue up? And of course, the arrival time of persons queuing up in general is a stochastic system because you can't really know when people show up. On the other hand, you can collect certain experiences. For example, if you take the post office, which is here at Berliner Platz, probably a lot of people show up there during their time for lunch. So people working around that will be showing up between 12 and 1:30, maybe. Students show up between 1 and 2. using their break time to do things at the post office. So probably they will have a peak during that time, which a person managing the shop could take into account, for example. But in general, we don't really know if there are processes driving the behavior of the persons queuing up. And so we have to construct a stochastic process which has not a lot of information and which nevertheless helps us to make this process work. So maybe we need some variables. So I would say we use times, so arrival times and waiting times, which are kind of both describing the same process but with a different point of view. In one, I'm just interested in the times when person arrive, it's a point in time, and I can ask the question, what time interval is there between two arrivals? And of course, these are different intervals, but I would expect to have a certain process, which we call stochastic process, where over these waiting times, we would have a clearly defined expected value, so like a mean value in stochastic terms, and a typical distribution around that, so kind of a variation around these expected values. So in order to model that, we take either the arrival times, which I abbreviate with T, small I, and the I is just counting, so the first person arriving after the shop opens is T, has the time T1, the second person has the time T2, and so on. Or we can take the waiting time. And this is kind of a bit confusing with my example, because the waiting time would mean I'm arriving and how long do I have to wait until I'm served, but that's not what I'm meaning here, because it's the opposite thing. The delay system is waiting for the next customer. So that's the waiting time between two persons arriving. And this is also a time. Nevertheless, we need a different letter, so we take a capital T, also because these capital letters very often are connected to intervals. I'm putting my information also on the blackboard, so it's waiting time between TI and TI minus one. And of course, we can also make a picture for that. It's an easy one, but it's just to have everything clear in our mind. So we have time going by, and then the first person is arriving at this point in time, then the next person, the third person, and so on. And this is the ice person, and this is the person before the ice person. And then, of course, we would say that this is T2, this is T3, this is all in between, and this would be TI. So the waiting time between the point in time when the I minus one person comes to the point where the person number I shows up. And both are stochastic processes, but it's easier to work with the waiting time as a stochastic variable. And I would just write this down as this is a good stochastic variable, which in the end only means that starting out with this system, we can come up with a process and expected values and things like that, which help us to model our elementary delay system. So, of course, this is just the idea how we would like to model this building up of the queue with this waiting times of the system. But we will have to feed the system a little bit more information. So, for example, one assumption... No, I'm still too small, sorry. I'm always overestimating how far I can reach up. So, assumptions. So, the first assumption is, since we do not really have additional information, we think of the probability of a person showing up to be the same all the time. So I will call this risk you know, even if this sounds a bit strange, that you are risk showing up at the post office. But this is kind of a speaking term in stochastic modeling, so the risk of arrival of the next customer is always the same. And what this also means is that if you just had one person arriving, this doesn't influence the probability of the next person arriving. So you could have a series of persons arriving in very short order, one after another, and then a huge break where nobody is really showing up. And this is all kind of in the limits of this because they are not connected at all in between them. And we call this independent. So there are all these occurrences of persons showing up, they are completely independent. And you will remember that before, when I was coming to stochastic things, I was already referring to the fact that this assumption of independence is really a huge one and important one, and it has a lot of consequences for the model. On the other hand, if we don't know any interdependencies, it's the best one. But we shouldn't just, you know, put it aside as something being basic and not really important. It's important, but it's an assumption which is it's a good one, and it also helps to make a good model. So maybe it doesn't really make sense to write here a one if there is just one assumptions I want to refer at the moment. Other assumptions will follow later on. So how can we make that work? So we could, for example, have a look at the probability, which in our mathematics lectures is always a capital P. And then in brackets, we write down for what thing we want to know the probability. And so here we would like to know the probability that our waiting time, so this is now the variable which is connected to these waiting intervals, is less than, so in a way the picture behind that formula is someone was arriving at time t, small t, and now we let this tau, which is also a time, that's why we stick to the tau symbols, the time symbols, and now we take a Greek one. We let it go. So, we, for example, we could take a discrete approach to that. So we say at 10 o'clock somebody was arriving, and then we have a look at 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds after that, and ask ourselves if somebody arrived in that time interval. And of course, in my describing the situation was already the fact that we already had 10 o'clock. So the assumption is that we really look only on times which lie behind the point in time after which we want to wait for the next person arriving. So I know this formula looks really terrible, but the information in that is kind of clear if you read it to yourself, because we are really interested in how long do we have to wait. Yeah, this is this capital tau, or the probability that we have to wait 1 second or 2 seconds or 3 seconds or 4 seconds or a minute or longer whenever we start to wait at 10 o'clock. And we can use elementary laws, taking this under the condition outside our probability. So this means we just have to look at the probability of our system between t and t plus tau. Sorry. I don't really know how to pronounce tau in English. So I was just thinking about that, and then I was starting really to write down T-A-O. So, and then we have to divide it by the probability that we really start with this point and not earlier. So now, of course, you could ask yourself, why is this helpful? This is helpful because we can write down both probabilities with the help of the distribution function as being the distribution function at point t for the right end of the interval minus the one on the left end of the interval. And this is just, so also we could use the right and the left, but of course this one here is infinity, and all the probabilities have always to add up to one. So we can take the left end as being one, and we take away the right end of the interval, which again is f of t distribution of t. So maybe that's a good moment to draw a picture in order that you remember what I'm doing here. So for example, we can always use two prescriptions for prescribing probabilities. So one is really to write down the probabilities. So maybe I'm just using the Gauss distribution for the moment. It has nothing to do with our problem here. It's just one probability distribution, which you know very well. So I'm just using that. So for example, if this is the expected value of the Gauss distribution, it looks like that. So it's very probable that you end up with things happening around this expected value, which I put here in the zero, because I can just move time around. And I can also write this as a distribution function. So I'm starting with a count, also counting up or integrating over time of all these probabilities. So I start with zero probability, and then it's growing very slowly, and then it's growing very fast around this expected value, and still very fast, and then it's growing very slowly only. And of course, this, since it's a probability, if you add up all things which can happen, the probability that some of this is happening is equal to one. Otherwise, you lost something important. And so at t equals to infinity, you reach the one. So here I was using a part of this diagram, and here I'm representing it with the help of this summing up function, which is capital F. So why is this really helpful to do? Because what we can try is we can kind of let tau become smaller and smaller. So what we can do is we can let tau go to zero. And we can, nevertheless, I just use a different color in order to make it not too crowded, but I would like to use the space on the right of that. And we can kind of consider the limits for tau going to zero of the quantity which we have here, so which is the thing which we would like to model for our delay system. So I'm also kind of adding here a 1 over tau. Here I need a 1 over tau. Here I need a 1 over tau. And then I let this go to zero. And of course I will use this representation in order to let tau go to zero. And what we see is that here we have precisely the derivative of our integral function, because we have just 1 over tau of the function at t plus tau minus at point t, and let this go to zero. And so maybe I should have used this already here. So it's this small f function, which is the function of all the probabilities drawn with respect to time. So we end up on this above our ratio with the function, which is the distribution of our time, waiting times at point T. So maybe I just put this together in order that you see that this is really the part together with this limit tau to zero, that this gives us this ingredients here. And this is just the definition of the derivative. And this is the derivative of this integral function. And by dividing by tau and letting tau go to zero, nothing changes in the part which is below our ratio. And so we have still this 1 minus the integral function for our time waiting times there. Okay, now you could say, oh, she's doing fancy calculations using integrals and derivatives and things like that, and it's not clear why this is useful. But of course, the thing is that if we have a look at this probability, letting the waiting time go to zero and measuring that against the waiting time, then this is kind of our the risk I was speaking about. So this is just the risk of the person showing up as a function in T. And so by using our assumption that this risk is always the same, it's the same as to say this is equal to some number, and the number in my script is probably lambda. And fortunately, I still have three colors, and so I will connect this name risk in my assumption here. So the risk of arrival of the next customer is always the same. It's precisely that in my model, I'm asking that whenever I have this risk under consideration, I was just using the usual relations, then this should be a constant. Now, you could still ask yourself if this is really helpful. But in a way, this is a differential equation, which, because the derivative of my integral function is precisely this f. And of course, we won't have a unique solution for that, yeah, because by differentiation, we throw away constants. So we will have either to take something like an initial condition together with that, or what usually we do in stochastics is we normalize it. So we maybe a little bit higher still. We are asking that this is really a probability measure, which means if we integrate from minus infinity to plus infinity, then the result should be 1. So now the logic is that we say that since we say that the risk of the arrival is always the same, we feed this into our prescription of the stochastic process, which is given through the probabilities of persons showing up through this distribution function, which is denoted with the small f, and the integral over this distribution function is this capital F. And by using these relations, we see that this the risk being the same ends up being a condition which we can write as a differential equation for this distribution function f, and together with the normalization that the small f is a distribution, is a stochastic distribution, which means that when I integrate it from minus infinity to plus infinity, the result should be 1, because all our probabilities are always between 0 and 1. And having everything which can happen together, one of the things should happen, so the probability is 1 in the end. we can really solve that system. And I won't give you the calculations for that, because that's really a bit boring, and also the result is not really surprising, because the result is that the distribution function is an exponential function with the right factor in front of it, namely it's lambda multiplied with e to the minus lambda t whenever our time is positive, and it's zero whenever we are, so to say, before the opening hours. And in a way, by giving you this result, you can plug it into the differential equation and see that it's indeed a solution. And since we know that under the condition to the solution it's a unique one, then that's the only one. This can be done that way. And of course, when you prefer to read the process in the integral way, we can also write that down. And it's again something which includes an exponential function. It's 1 minus e to the minus lambda t for positive times, and it's 0 for negative times. Okay, of course, this is something which is not something which we find completely for the first time in that context. So it's a well-known stochastic distribution which is called exponential distribution. And exponential distribution. And of course, if I say this is the exponential distribution, this means this is a family of distributions which are possible, and they differ by this coefficient lambda. So you choose the lambda in the process, and by choosing the lambda, you choose the exponential distribution, which is the right one for your process. And of course, this makes complete sense from our modeling process, because we say the thing which is really the important information in the process is how high is our risk of the next person showing up, and this is all the time the same. So this lambda is really this risk of persons showing up, and so it's also the important parameter in our exponential distribution. And we can calculate the expected value of waiting times, or we can just look it up, because there you all find these kinds of distributions in tables or in Wikipedia, very nicely put up everything there. I know that because I was trying to give a series of lectures for pupils at school between the age of 16 and 18, so which usually never heard anything about stochastic distributions or exponential function or probabilities, more than just probability of throwing a dice, or, you know, going to an urn and taking things out, but never as a function. And so I was trying to find good ways to make the process which we did together with your knowledge from your first terms and analysis and stochastics, which is, you know, precise and on a clear mathematical basis, nevertheless understandable for pupils which don't have this basis. And so I looked up on Wikipedia and everything, in order to have a lot of point of views. And you find everything there, which is nice. Okay, so this is kind of the thing which is the main information from the modeling process, that we have this exponential distribution of persons showing up. And as to be expected, the expected value of that should be 1 over epsilon. Of course, in a way, if you want to model really the queuing, now you would take this process which gives you persons showing up in a stochastic way according to this distribution, and then you have, for each moment in time, you have to count the persons which are really in the queue. So now we have to count the arrivals. I hope it's possible to read that this means count in a time interval. And we call the time interval N. capital N is really connected to the counting process. And in the basic lectures in stochastics, we go over from this exponential distribution to Poisson distribution by precisely connecting them through counting. So the result of this counting process is a Poisson distributed quantity. So N of T is Poisson distributed. Also with a parameter. So the Poisson distributions are also a family of distributions with one parameter. And traditionally, this is this funny theta symbol here. And this is connected to our exponential distribution, which lies below that by lambda. And this has to be multiplied by the time interval. And that's not really surprising, yeah, because that's the stable thing which is happening. And so now I was starting with the parameter, and I have to give the formula. No, that's the wrong one. So the probability that the number of people which are in the queue at point T is equal to K is the exponential of minus the parameter, which is this theta. And this is multiplied by theta to the K and divided by factorial of K. And what you see is that this parameter in this Poisson distributed family is also precisely the expected value. So this is sort of the expected value of N of T. Of course, now you could say there are fancy formulas on the blackboard. What does this help? Firstly, we can really feed in our exponential distribution by throwing up realizations of a waiting time process in order to, for example, simulate if our counter system is working effectively, just in a simulation which tries to model that according to the things which you could expect. And, for example, you can also play with your parameter lambda and these kinds of things. Yes, you just try to find the parameter lambda which really fits to your observations, for example. But on kind of a meta level, what our calculations say is that with the help of this exponential distribution, which is connected to a Poisson distribution counting the persons in the queue, is in the end with this expected value. Yeah, maybe you can't see it really good because it's too not high enough for the person sitting in the back. So this formula here says that we expect to have lambda arrivals per time, yes, in our Poisson process. And this is precisely the assumption with which we started the process. And so we are really happy that we have that as an arrival rate with our assumption that this is the risk which is a constant in time for our process. Okay. So now you could, of course, say this is, you know, a bit boring using these, you know. The thing for me in this process is really that with our simple assumptions, we can come up with this differential equation and we can just solve the differential equation and find our model. And I like this a lot. Because what you usually have is that you're modeling a certain process and you don't really have a feeling what is the stochastic process underlying that. And what you do is you just either ask a person who has more experience what you usually use, or you just look it up in a textbook and you just take whatever is given as advice without knowing why. So you just use whatever was used before because this works. And we don't really have so many stochastic processes available, so it's kind of a choice between five or six models, And then you have to choose the parameter or the parameters, if there are several in the model, in order to make it work. And you know, this is kind of okay, because you can base your work on the work which was done before, which is never really wrong. On the other hand, it's not really satisfying as a mathematician, because I would really like to know where the model comes from and why it's right. And here I have the possibility to do that through my differential equations, and this I like a lot. Even if the calculations leading to that and coming from that are a bit boring. So what you really should keep in mind for the exam is the central idea that we can come up with the exponential distribution through this differential equation, because I like it. Okay, so what's a bit more funny, I think, is the second thing which I would like to treat today, which usually is called delay system paradox or delay time paradox. I just put this on the blackboard, so delay time paradox. Oh, you know, this is kind of almost scientific way, and the not so scientific way to call it, it's Hitchhiker's paradox. And the good thing for with paradoxes is that they challenge our gut feeling about things. So we kind of, in a system of our thoughts, we come up to certain things which we feel are really true. We even think they have a scientific basis. And then they clash with things which are also obviously true, and we call this a paradox. Of course, in a way, everything has an explanation from the outside. It's not nothing magical, but paradoxes always challenge our models, and that's why I think they are really helpful to consider. And so today I want to consider the Hitchhiker's paradox with you. After sneezing? No, it doesn't come. Okay, what is the situation? Maybe we just take a situation which everybody of you knows. For example, we would like to use a bus. And of course, in an ideal world, all the buses would really stick to the timetable, and then we wouldn't have to model anything. I don't, you know, the very simple model that we just go to the station whenever, according to the timetable, there should be a bus, and so everything is fine. But, you know, the buses take part in the usual traffic, and so they are delayed sometimes. And sometimes then they can be a bit faster than expected because the travel is not so dense. So our kind of a situation with which we would like to start is that we have the information that during 1 hour, 6 buses will arrive, which means that if they would be according to a schedule, each 10 minutes there would be 1 bus. So maybe I put this here. So the info is, firstly, the expected waiting time is 10 minutes. So 6 buses per hour is the same information, just in different words. And of course, what we will use is the same assumption which we already did for our modeling of the queuing process, that all the arrivals of the buses are completely independent from one another. There is no interconnection in between them. And they follow the same stochastic process. And writing down in scientific terms means that these arrival times, Ti, are identically distributed. So ID is abbreviation for that. So they are independent and identically distributed. So in a way, these are two informations. That's one information, is that they are completely independent from one another. And the second information is that we say that they follow the same stochastic process. So, I'm just checking that I don't really forget anything. So, for example, if we take this process which we developed before, so with our model, which means the model which we developed in the first half of the lecture, we would have that the integral over the distribution of the arrivals, this capital F function, is just 1 minus e to the minus t over, so would be t lambda, of course. And this would be something like 1 over lambda here, which is kind of, you know, I'm using this minutes here, and I won't really go through that with the minutes, so this is always a bit of, it's okay, but it's not really precise. So maybe it would even make sense, in order to avoid this 1 over lambda all the time, to call this gamma, and then we would have here 1 minus e to the minus t over gamma, just to have both notations on the blackboard. Okay. So now we have to formulate our problem, which I was kind of doing, but not really putting it on the blackboard. So our question is, how long do we have to wait for the next bus? And in a way, this is easy to answer, because we have this distribution function, so we can just use that. So we will have to look up the value of the distribution function. So now I need a name for the time where we arrived at the station. So we arrive at T0, for example, and how long will we have to wait? So we look up our distribution function after that point in time where we arrived. And we can kind of play the same game, rewriting this as probabilities, and then using a different way to write the distribution function. And I'm just writing all these combinations because this gives you the possibility to choose the one which you like best. So, of course, we have the probability that our waiting time is less than our variable small t, under the condition that we started to wait at t0. Then we can rewrite that as we did before, with the help of the integral or the distribution function on the left and right end, the difference of them. So we end up with the formula that we have the difference between capital Ft at time t minus capital Ft at t0, and have to divide this by 1 minus Ft at the point in time t0 when we arrived. So this is just kind of copying the same ideas which we used before up to here. But calculation which I don't want to show here because they are really technical, we can simplify that, because we know precisely that this is this capital F function is always this 1 minus e to the minus t lambda, here at time t, here at time t0, and here at time t0. And we can use that and see that what we calculate here, so the waiting time, is precisely our integral over the distribution function at t minus t0. So what does this mean? This means that our waiting time for the next bus has the same distribution as this waiting time of the system for the next customer, because this is our waiting time here, and here we just shift this t minus t0, so to the arrival time can be put as 0 in our time model, and then we have kind of the same distribution function here. And maybe it's better if I write this down on the blackboard, because So this means my waiting time for the bus has the same stochastic distribution as this capital T variable which we had in our queuing model. And so what we can say is we can use our knowledge about the expected value, so the expected value of our waiting time when we arrive at T0 is just T0 plus the waiting time, so the expected value of T. And we know this expected value of T is just 1 over lambda. Or if we want to write it with gamma, we can write T0 plus gamma. Okay, this doesn't look so exciting and not really paradoxical. But what does this say? This means the last bus came gamma minutes ago. And I will have to wait 10 minutes. And I would like to stick to the same. So this is here always our 10 minutes, yes. And for the formula, it's easier to work with the gamma. But in the text, it's easier to understand with the 10 minutes. And that's really crazy, because in our head this means that there is a 20 minutes break between the arrival of buses, which feels a bit too long. And it's too long also because it doesn't really depend on the point in time when we arrive. So we don't choose kind of a not nice point in time where we arrive, which is just bad luck. But whenever we arrive, the situation is that we have to expect that we have to wait 10 minutes, you know, in the mean. Of course, the bus can arrive any moment in time, but the stochastic process behind says that when if we do this 100 times and take the mean values of all these waiting times, this should be near to 10 minutes. And also, if somebody is taking notice of the bus which was before and just connects all these data and takes the mean value, it also the result should be 10 minutes. And this is really paradoxical, because firstly, we would like to think that whenever we arrive at the bus and we know there are 6 buses per hour, which means each 10 minutes there should be a bus, we would like to think that our waiting time should be around 5 minutes. And also that the last bus came 5 minutes ago. This would stick much more near to the fact we have about the buses arriving, 6 buses. Yeah, in 1 hour. Nevertheless, this hope for the 5 minutes was already destroyed by this calculation, because this calculation says we will have to wait according to this exponential distribution. We will have to wait 10 minutes probably. And then we see that also looking back in time, also the 10 minutes apply to the things which happened before, so that we have this paradoxical situation of the last bus was 10 minutes ago and we will have to wait another 10 minutes. And of course, this is paradoxical. And the question is why? Because in a way, since we used standard mathematical arguments and everything was calculated, we don't really ask ourselves if the model is maybe wrong. So according to our model, these numbers are correct. The question is, why is our expectation not in accordance with the model? And One possibility to answer that question is to take the position of an outside observer. So for an outside observer, somebody living at the bus station, looking out of the window and just taking notice that buses are coming and going, this outside observer has the information that, for example, the buses were distributed like that. Now, I shouldn't put too many data there because I will have to draw a complicated picture with them. So maybe I call this Ti. Then this is Ti minus 1, Ti minus 2, and this is Ti plus 1 and Ti plus 2. Okay, so these are the times when the buses arrive. So for example, maybe I take a color. When I'm arriving at this point in time here, I just see the bus go, and my waiting time is precisely the interval up to the next bus. So my waiting time here is the length of this interval. My waiting time here is half of that, and here the bus is coming, so if I'm arriving here, I don't have to wait. So my waiting time is just a linear function going from this maximum value to zero like that. So, and of course, this is not part of the function. This is only in order to construct my function. The function starts here and goes down here. So here I'm more lucky. If I'm arriving here, the next bus is coming soon. So I will have to wait a shorter period of time, and also all the persons coming in this time interval, they don't have to wait so long. So now you see the idea working like that. Okay, maybe I just continue with that. So with this information, I can calculate a mean waiting time. I should call it somehow. Maybe capital M, mean waiting time. So we would take, for example, from T0, the first moment we started our observation, up to the last point in time where we take this information, it's Tn, and we just integrate T0. So this is still not really good. So maybe we just call this waiting time capital M of T. And if we want to calculate the mean of that, I will just use this bar on top of the M. And time, of course, has an E here. Sorry. So I'm calculating M of T as the integral. The thing is, whenever I think I should make it a little bit more easy to grasp as I wrote it down at home, usually I end up in a mess and nothing becomes more easy because I'm not clear. So, nevertheless, I will stick with my M. So we have a waiting time M of T, and we have a mean waiting time. And I will call this with the bar. And we can calculate this quantity with the bar using our waiting time, integrating over the waiting times, and just dividing by the length of the interval. So that's kind of standard. And of course, this is integrated with respect to time. So now it shouldn't depend on T. It depends on T in the sense that this gives a number which doesn't depend on T anymore, and this is also a number. So, you are right. This shouldn't depend on T. It's like that. Thank you. In my head, I was already on the right-hand side, and so it got in T, which is wrong. Okay, now you could say this is kind of just writing down the definition, and does this help so much? But of course, it helps a lot because we have such an easy way to calculate the integrals, because what we have is we just need this area of our triangles, which have two sides of the same length and then a right angle. And so if we just switch to our variables, we have here ti minus 1 with a capital T. Then here we have ti, here we have ti plus 1, and so on. So if we switch to this waiting time variable capital T, we see that the area below our waiting function is just half of ti squared. So we have to consider the sum from 1 to n over ti squared. And we divide it by the sum over the ti's, because this is just the length of time on which this is working. Okay, so now what we really need is working, also connecting that to our distribution function, and especially both with the expected value as with the variation of that. And so what we can do in order to make this connection is, for example, let our observations go to infinity, so which means in our formula this n goes to infinity, and then we compare the squares of our variable which we consider in our stochastic process by the integral over the variable, which is precisely the definition of the expected value of our variable m, which is the waiting time on this side. And on this side, we have one half is missing here, is the expected value of our distribution for t squared divided by the expected value of t. So you see this here, it's just kind of rewriting that in a stochastic process. So the mean value, which before just referred to the n number of observed things happening. If n goes to infinity, this just changes to the expected value. And on the right-hand side, we have here the process summing up, and here the process summing up, and just balancing it here and here cancels each other out, such that in the limiting process, we really end up with the definition of the expected value for the variable squared, and it has to be divided by the expected value of t itself. So this looks nice, but we can't really read off anything helpful. So because the question would be, how is the expected value of the variable which is squared connected to our process, to t? Yeah, this looks nice, but you know, you have to have a bit more either information or experience with these kind of formulas. And I will give the answer in a moment, but just to get the idea behind that, of course, in order to model processes, you do something which is very much similar to approximating function with Taylor series. So what you do in a Taylor series is first you start with a point on your function, and then near this point on the function you want to predict the behavior of the function near that. And in the first step, you just take the direction of the first order derivative, which is a tangential direction, and go a small step in that direction and say this is a good approximation of first order for your function. If this is not good enough, as a next step, you use the second order derivative as the tangential direction of the tangential direction. And this improves your approximation. And you can do that kind of until the infinities order of your function. And if your function is so smooth that it really has infinitely many derivatives, then you can rebuild your function with the help of this power series. So this is then also connects back to that power series, and various smooth functions are really kind of interconnected to each other. And this approximating idea is also used in stochastic processes. Only here, your first order approximation is this expected value, that you have kind of a mean value around that most of your observations take place. So for my picture of the Gauss function, you see that this is really the peak in the distribution function. But this is not enough for the Gauss function. You need a second parameter in order to have one, so the Gauss distribution which you really use, which is how fat is the part around this expected value, so around this peak. So because what you could have is, sorry, I need a bit of space in order to draw a bit. So this would be a Gaussian distribution, but this would also be a Gaussian distribution. Yeah, and the difference between both is that here is a lot of space between the two parts where it grows and it decays. So there are a lot of values lie somewhere here. And here the space is very thin between the two parts where it really is growing up to this expected value and then going down. And, of course, in everyday life, what we really have is something which is more like that. So, for example, if you have a distribution of marks in school, so you would have, like, a number of persons being middle good, like between 3 and 2, and then you have a distribution around that, which taking account a lot of the members of the class between, like, 1 and 4, and the few which are even better than 1, and the few which don't really finish the class because they just get mark 5 or 6, so which is then outside this kind of usual area of things happening. Of course, if you would like to use the Gaussian distribution to model things very precisely, you would be more happy with a distribution like that, because this means that the interval in which things are happening is kind of a very small one, and you can kind of predict a time interval, a short time interval where everything will kind of happen. But, you know, and the difference between these two is just how you allow your distribution to vary around the expected value. And this variation coefficient is kind of the second order approximation for the stochastic process, which is kind of really behind the process, so the one which you would like to model with the help of your stochastic distribution. And if you, you know, this was not the first idea of the persons doing stochastic modeling. I would say stochastic modeling is one of the parts in mathematics where the ways which didn't end up with something useful were so many more than in other parts, because sometimes it's really counterintuitive to do this strictly. But the end result I like a lot, and I can really keep in mind because it looks like that, that, of course, your first order approximation is in this expected value. And if you want to have your second order approximation, is you need the expected value of your variable squared. And, of course, then you have to normalize it, yeah, in order that, that it fits. But you also know that from the Taylor distribution that you also have to normalize it by 1 over k to the faculty and things like that. So, but what you really have to keep in mind that this is kind of this expected value of the square of our variable, which we have in our formula, is really connected to this second order approximation coefficient, which is the variation of your distribution. And if you would like to know it even a better approximation, we would have to take the expected value of t to the 3 and then expected value of t to the 4 and things like that. And these are called the moments of the distribution, because this kind of connects to considerations which you have in physics for forces. So then there you also have moments of action, which depend on the powers which you can take. So this means what is on our formula is that our mean waiting time is connected to something which is representative for the variation of the process, and this is normalized again the expected value of our process. So the answer to that question has to lie in formulas with the variation. And concerning the variation, there are two ones which are the usual ones, and they usually are called sigma and rho. And so, for example, so this... sorry, I just have to find the place where I can continue following my script. So we can... the variation, as I will use it today, is the one which is called rho. And you already know my rho from the density last week. This is a function of our variable, of our stochastically distributed variable t. And this variation is connected to the other one, which is usually called sigma. And this is my sigma. By normalizing it again with this expected value t. So this is just the connection between the two possibilities for the formulas for this second order approximation, which is building into the process how much the distribution is allowed to vary around this expected value. And now I'm writing my formula over there with the help of rho, this one here. So we can write that our expected value for the waiting time, so this is our stochastic translation for our mean waiting time, is just 1/2 of the expected value of t multiplied with 1 plus rho squared. So, and I'm using this notation for rho of t squared. I don't like to use so many brackets, and so I'm usually writing it that way. And we find this formula just by going into our table of formulas, using the formula for rho, which expresses rho through this expected value of t squared. And we end up with this formula over there. And what you already see by following this formula here is that, for example, when this variation here is zero, then our waiting time would be like 1/2 of the time between the two buses, which would mean if the buses come each 10 minutes, our waiting time would be the 5 minutes which we would expect. Maybe you just write this down in order to understand this formula better. So this formula means, so first, when there is no variation, then our mean waiting time, just using this again because it's shorter, is just 5 minutes, because it's just 1/2 of 10 minutes. And this is precisely the process where the buses follow their schedule, only you don't know the schedule, so you just arrive any time, and then since the buses are really coming each bus each 10 minutes precisely, your expected waiting time is 5 minutes. And also the last bus went 5 minutes ago, because that's always the same number. So in our system, we had in our situation. We only had this information that we have the 6 buses in 1 hour, and we can calculate from the situation that our rho is precisely equal to 1. Now I have to shift this as well. Sorry, because otherwise we don't see the formula. Which means that with this variation in our process, which uses this Poisson distribution, we have here 1 plus 1 gives 2, and the 2 cancels the 2 here in front, so our mean waiting time is precisely the expected waiting time for the buses, which is 10 minutes. And of course, if the distribution is even worse, then your waiting time can get even bigger. On the other hand, without any big disturbances in the traffic, we don't have to expect anything worse than the one which we were modeling. So this variation rho equal to 1 is kind of an extreme value under usual conditions. So between the 0 for buses coming in time to the 1 which we have if the buses just show up according to the Poisson distribution, this would kind of be somewhere in between that usual things happen. Okay, maybe as a last question, it's still kind of astonishing, even, you know, you just followed my calculation, and even if I don't give all the steps, at least the main ideas are very simple, clear, and easy to follow, especially how we calculate this integral over all the waiting time functions. It's still kind of funny that it really gives such a long time with this graph over there. So do you have any idea why this happens? Just looking at the picture which I have on the upper blackboard in the lower left corner. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there is no chance to cancel it out yet. But on the, it's even simpler than that. Because the thing is, if you have a look at my picture, which is just one representation of things which can happen, you see there are long intervals and there are short intervals. The probability that you arrive in long interval, of course, it's much bigger because it's so long compared to the short intervals. But whenever you arrive in one of the long intervals, your waiting time is a long one. So at least, you know, at the beginning of the interval, it's really long. Then in the half of the interval, it gets as long as for the short intervals. And only after that, it gets shorter and shorter. So there is a big part that your probability to arrive in one of the intervals with the bad luck, where you have to wait long, is bigger than to arrive in a short interval. And this is precisely the process behind which drives to the fact that you, if you take the mean value of everything which can happen, really arrive at such a long expected time you will have to wait. Yeah? Because if things start to change around and you have this different length of the interval, then you, the probability that you arrive in one of the bad luck intervals is just much bigger. Yeah? And that's why you can explain that this is not just the result of kind of fancy calculation, but it really makes sense considering that way, that of course it has to be longer. Yeah. You can't really calculate that it's 10 minutes, but just to get a gut feeling why you can resolve the paradoxical situation like that. So we have very short time, and I wanted to give you a puzzle for the break, if you like. And the puzzle is a Chinese duel, which goes the following way. I will just read in order that I don't make things worse. So the Chinese duel works as follows. You have 2 rivals, and they make the following appointment. They will arrive randomly in between 1 hour, so let's say between midnight and 1 o'clock, at a certain place. So the place is determined, but the time is random. When they arrive, they just wait for 6 minutes. If the opponent does not arrive in that period of time, they just go home. What is the probability that the duel takes place? So maybe I just try to put this here. So they arrive randomly between midnight and 1 o'clock. Then they wait 6 minutes. So what is the probability that they meet? And the first person who sends me a convincing solution for that gets a book. Okay, so thank you for your attention for today. We see each other next week for the lecture of Tobias Kretz. And I say it one last time, whenever you feel inclined to invite people you know, this is, of course, perfectly fine, because I think it will be really interesting. That's the reason why I invited him. Thank you.